Lady BizWiz, where we help you focus, execute, and get results as you take your business from concept to market. Well, today we are kind of recapping a really interesting talk that Amy gave this past week at the Savannah Women in Business Network lunch. First of all, Amy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I have not been feeling well the last week, and I had lost my voice. So this is the best voice I've had all week, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, you do sound a lot better. You've had kind of a nasty cold going there. All right, well, so anyway, Amy did a great talk. She was really sick, but she pushed through anyway and came out, and it was just a great time. A lot of interesting women there in all different kinds of professions, business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs, all kinds of great ladies. But so Amy talked about, she gave a talk that she's been giving quite a bit in the Savannah area. And it was a talk about building your team personally and professionally. This has become a really hot topic for you lately, right, Amy?
Well, as I kind of keep trying to perfect it, I guess, I keep giving it. So I guess every time I give it, I can kind of add something or take something away. So it is my general idea before of speaking is I'll just, whatever topic they want me to talk on, I just talk on it. But because I'm trying to kind of create, and for my own professional self, drill down into having a handful of talks that I can market, I am really kind of doing this one. So this is probably the fifth time I've done this talk.
And I think I've heard almost everyone, and it's different every time, which I love.
Well, there's no notes, so they always have to be, they're always a little bit different.
I really feel like I get something new every time. So I thought today we would rehearse. We would review, as my musical side coming out, we would review some of the questions that came up after your talk, which I thought were, there were some really great questions, some really great topics that emerged after your talk. So the first one I'm going to, if you're listening out there and you were at the meeting, this is not verbatim. I did not record or take notes. So please forgive me if I'm slightly changing it. So, but I'm going to try my best to recreate a couple of these questions that were really apropos. I think you all get a lot out of it. So this was the first one. My husband owns a gym and he's working 12 hours a day doing everything, the training and all the administrative tasks. You talked about replicating yourself. How do I encourage him to begin letting go of the reins and delegating some of his work?
So the first thing I said was basically, if you heard replicate yourself, you heard wrong. When I start to scale out a business, and that's what she's really basically asking. Her husband's at basically the tipping point, and they're ready for the first step in scaling. And the first step in scaling, and this, if you've listened before, you obviously know this, is not in bringing on somebody like you. So I'm actually not interested at all in replicating myself in my first step. I'm really more interested in bringing on somebody that really embodies my weaknesses, really embodies the tasks that are not necessarily as much of what I can do and only I can do.
So they're not as specialized.
They are, if I'm in this situation, he's a fitness instructor. I don't necessarily want somebody who has fitness instruction capabilities. I want somebody who can do phone management in this case. I want somebody who can do booking my appointments. I want somebody who can update my social maybe. I want somebody who can pay my bills. I need somebody who can do that so that I can then take those hours that I have to use for those tasks and I can take those hours into adding two more clients to my book of business, therefore growing my book of business, and then being able to afford to pay for that other person. So I'm not interested in actually, that first move is not in replicating yourself. That first move is freeing up some of the things that can be outsourced to an employee so that that person can continue to build up their book of business, therefore generating more revenue.
Right. And you talk about how, you know, we all have the same 24 hours, right? I mean, none of us has more than the other. So it's really about how you're using that time, how you're maximizing that time with both manpower and money. I mean, you're and profit.
Yeah. So, at the beginning, you're obviously doing it all. You're sweeping the gym. You're sanitizing between. You're a one man show. Your next step is to, again, continue to do the things that generate your revenue, because that's what's gotten to the point of needing to have somebody else. And then taking those 3 to 4 hours a day out of your work day, because you're still working 8 to 10 hours. So if you can take 4 hours out of your workday doing those other tasks and can bring on 4 new clients, if let's just say you pick up one an hour or something, then, you know, you can now, you've now you've added four times more to your revenue than you were before. So it's not really about hiring. The first person I hired would not be somebody who does what I do. The first person I would hire in that particular situation would be somebody who could do the cleaning, the office stuff, the phone, answering the phone, so I could spend more time in the gym training clients, which is the revenue producer of that particular business.
And most likely the thing that he most enjoys and why he started a gym in the first place.
Probably so.
We talked, that reminds me of the ABC buckets that we talked about a while back. And it's been a while since we've brought up that analogy, but I love it. We should say it again. Go ahead, Amy. What are the A, B, and C buckets? Teach us, O Jedi Master.
So the A bucket is the things that you're really good at and you enjoy doing. So if you're a writer, obviously sitting down and writing is what you enjoy. It's your gift. You're good at it because you're a writer. So obviously that would be your A bucket. And I'm just, let's just use this writer example all the way through. So your B bucket, let's just say you're a writer. And so your B bucket is you can do these things. So you can post to your social media. You don't really necessarily love doing it, but you can do it. It's within your wheelhouse. You write. So writing copy is not a big deal. Maybe creating some creative content, maybe outside of your love, but again, can do it. So you're reasonably good at it. It's within your skill set to do. That would be your B bucket. And then let's just say you're still a writer. So you're creative, and your C bucket's going to be
spreadsheets.
you have no aptitude for them. You have no skill in them. It's just, it's not even something that you can learn. So your C bucket in that case would be hiring a bookkeeper who could make sure that your writing projects are profitable and that your bills are paid and that kind of stuff. So your C bucket is really things that you're not good at, or really no matter how hard you try, you're ever going to be good at, or are outside your professional capacity. So obviously you don't want to go draw up contracts, even though you're a writer. You don't want to go write contracts because you don't know contract law. So that would be kind of your C bucket.
Right. My time is the most valuable resource I have, and I'd like to spend less of it at the grocery store. Instacart helps me get unlimited products I love from the stores I choose for one low monthly fee. The groceries are delivered in less than an hour. So if I need that one special ingredient to make my mom's famous chicken gumbo, I can have it here before my workday is done without the extra hassle of another errand. Start your 14-day trial with Instacart by following the link in the show notes to let Instacart know that we sent you and to help support the show. Instacart, never step foot in a grocery store again. So in the gym scenario, you know, he probably loves, you know, training. I think she said he was into like athletes and helping athletes' performance improve. So that's probably his passion most likely. And that would be his A bucket. And then maybe his B bucket is, like you said, answering the phones and doing some of the administrative
Those are all things
bills.
That need to be done while you start a business. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You're going to be doing in the first whatever months that you're doing it, you're doing A and B bucket. There's just no way around that I've ever found as an entrepreneur that you're not doing. And then you're really doing a little C bucket because you've downloaded QuickBooks and you're at least trying to enter in your receipts and that kind of stuff. So
right.
You're going to be doing all three buckets at least to some degree. Obviously don't go into law if you're not a lawyer, but I mean, obviously to some degree, you're going to be doing all three buckets when you start a business. As you, you know, become cash positive and you start to generate revenue, obviously your first outsourcing is going to be that C bucket to make sure that you're in compliance. But the nice thing about the C bucket is it's usually just task oriented. I need to create an LLC, check. Just, you know, you hire somebody to do that. So a lot of those are all professionally kind of driven. They're not really day to day. So you have, they cost money, but you know, they're kind of sitting out there as kind of professional services. So you can kind of move in and out of those. But
we all know people whose A bucket would be like administrative tasks. Some people love sitting at a desk and answering phones, and that's where
they should be in a business that is administrative task driven.
Right.
I mean, they're not in a painting the side of house mural.
Exactly.
Business.
But what I'm saying is this gym owner needs to find that person. That's where their strength
Correct.
Is.
Yeah.
That's where they're in their zone.
Yeah. And like I said, I would love to take this B and C bucket all day long because I hate working out. So that is not anywhere close to my A bucket. So I'm glad somebody likes doing it. But so I have, you know, again, it just really is in your business. I mean, you obviously have a point behind your business, whatever that is. And, you know, obviously if you've decided to go into business for yourself, you should enjoy the business that you've created for yourself. So yeah, most entrepreneurs start out doing something they like and they move it from a hobby to a business. That's how it usually works.
Right. Okay, great. So the second question that came up was this one. And I thought this just turned out such great conversation. This young lady says, I'm 23 years old and I'd like to know how you deal with the fact that many times as women, we're held up to this standard of perfection in the workplace that isn't realistic.
And I said, amen, it's not realistic. It's not. And, you know, I think as women, this whole idea of perfectionism is something that sits inside of us more than anything else. I think we brand ourselves with this weird desire to be perfect. And I, she's 23. And so I'm several decades away from 23. But I can look back and remember my 23 or 25 year old self. And I wasn't as comfortable in my skin at that age, where I'm just a lot more comfortable in my skin at my current age. And so, as I've aged, I became, somebody who perfectionism didn't, matter quite as much. I just became more comfortable. And like I said, I feel like I'd be patronizing for anybody who's out there in their 20s going, just don't take yourself so seriously or whatever. I said, that's something easy for me to say, and it's not always that easy to do. But I think if we just cut ourselves a bigger break, just give ourselves a pass. I think, like I said, I don't think we always give ourselves a pass as much as, honestly, I think the world is actually willing to give us more of a pass than we are almost really willing to give ourselves. But I do love sports, and I don't love baseball, but I'll use this as an example. A major league baseball player only gets on base, I think, 3 times out of every 10 times they swing. They're batting a 300, whatever that is. So that means 700 didn't go anywhere.
So 30%, they're batting 30%.
That's what I guess. I mean, like I said, if y'all are baseball statistics, don't come and nail me on the thing. But anyway, I think the statistics is to be a major league baseball professional. So you are making millions of dollars, that you're at the height of the game. There's no farther place to go than the show and in major league baseball. And you still only get on base 3 out of every 10 times. That's not even a passing score in school. Yet you are a million-dollar athlete, multi-million-dollar athlete. If you take that and you apply that to the rest of your world, you don't have to hit a home run every single time you're at bat. The main thing they do is they get up every single time, and they get up at bat, and they go out to hit their 3 out of 10 times. And so they're not perfect. And why should you have to create a level that you create perfection for yourself? It's unrealistic. And I will tell you, if somebody said that to that baseball batter, they had to get up and hit it 9 out of 10 times, they may not have the confidence to get up there because they know they're not going to do it. So my thing is that if you just get up every day and just do the best you can, is really got to be the standard of what is good enough, then I think you will find yourself putting yourself back more into the driver's seat and taking perfectionism and putting it out.
Thank you for joining us today on Lady BizWiz. Tune in next time as we finish up this talk called Delegate, De-Stress, and Dump Perfectionism. Don't forget to reach out if you have any questions or would like to find out how to have Amy Shibby out to speak at your next event. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.